This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, just parenthetically, since you mentioned the fact that we're going to travel to another star system and we have to travel below the speed of light, there's no warp drive or wormhole or some gimmick to extend our speed. Sci-fi stories have had concepts of cities in space. So we would have the capability here of transporting maybe hundreds of people, allowing for births and deaths, or put everybody in suspended animation, if we could, to get them to a new place. In the movie Forbidden Planet, if you recall, that when the crew of the spaceship landed, they appeared to be in suspended animation and coming awake. What do you think, guys?
Before the break there, we were just talking about cases where the time would be within a human lifespan. But I think, Jen, you'd probably also agree that within the next 20 to 30 years, we might very well figure out anti-aging for ourselves. And then if we don't have to worry about that, well, we could take a long time to just, as Gene suggests, perhaps explore the cosmos like space nomads in a multi-generation type ship, you know, in which case speed doesn't even really become a significant factor anymore.
Correct. Very much so. Yeah, I don't know that suspended animation is going to be needed, honestly. I understand why it's talked about, but I fully believe that we're going to figure out how to manipulate space and time. This was a conversation I had with Hal Putoff about a year ago, because when I had my conversation with Ben Rich back in 93, and he made the comment that we had the technology to take E.T. home, I think they had figured out the equations for that, and they knew how to make it work. So let me just back up a second here. One of the things he talked about in his talk at the UCLA School of Engineering alumni group was the fact that stealth came about because of a Russian mathematician's equations. And this Russian mathematician, a brilliant guy, I don't recall his name, but he had written a set of equations that basically said, if you do this, you will be invisible to radar. The Lockheed Skunk Works team took that set of equations and used it to determine how they would have to build an aircraft in order to hide it from radar signature cross-section. And that's how the F-117 came to be built. And if you look at the F-117, it is the strangest looking aircraft you've ever seen. It's got angular angles all over the thing. It doesn't look like any other aircraft ever built. Kelly Johnson derided Ben as, are you crazy? This thing doesn't even look like an airplane, because he didn't think it would even fly. But yet it did. And not only did it fly, but it also was invisible to radar. So it was all through the mathematical equations that occurred. I think interstellar travel and faster than light travel is the same thing. It's working on the Einstein's general theory of relativity and the equations for space and time, which are interchangeable. Those two variables, space and time, are interchangeable. And once you figure out how to do that, theoretically, through the equations, you can then begin to experimentally try to build it and make it operational so that you actually have a craft that does manipulate space and time. And once you get to that point, I don't think any of these barriers are there for us anymore. I think it may still take us a certain amount of time to get from here to there, but it's not going to take us as long as we would normally take it. And then add to that what you said about the expanded lifetimes, which I do believe is going to happen. Boy, I mean, you can pretty much do anything you want in terms of where you want to go and what you want to do.
Of course, this brings up a point of contention that I tend to get myself mired down in with certain people on the whole idea of warp drive and space-time geometry. When we're using an example, something like the F-117, what we're dealing with is radar emissions and the way that they reflect off surfaces so that they don't get returned to the receivers. And that's all very well understood, because we're dealing with known physical phenomena and materials. There's materials that also absorb radar. And so between reflecting them off in another direction and absorbing them, the science behind it isn't particularly mystical. It's proven with materials and known engineering. On the other hand, something like space-time curvature is more a model of the way things in space behave according to the math that you see. So it's not that space itself is curved. It's that things in space behave as if space were curved. But there's no evidence that it actually is. We're only dealing with things like light rays or material objects that are under no propulsion and how they tend to travel through space unencumbered by any sort of artificial means of or interruption in their movement, if you get what I'm saying. We can still travel straight from point A to point B. We don't need to take into account any space-time curvature whatsoever if we have propulsion. So I'm not convinced that any kind of warp drive is even possible.
Well, I guess we better stay on Earth then. Well, I think it is. I mean, but, you know, time will tell. What's capable and what's possible. All we know is we're observing these craft and they're doing some pretty extraordinary things that we can't do. So there's obviously something about the technology that we haven't quite mastered yet. And hopefully we're going to get there real soon.
That I have to completely agree with. There's been too many reports of something taking place. They have some kind of propulsion that we don't understand. It probably isn't some kind of space warping type of propulsion, but it allows them to move in ways that are far beyond our capability right now. Just by the fact that we can see them do it means that they're doing it somehow. We just need to figure out how. And I don't think it hurts to explore all of these different avenues. And maybe by exploring them, the right path will open itself up. I like to think that maybe even somebody who's tinkering in their garage somewhere along the way is going to stumble upon this. You know, one of the great discoveries is just going to, all of a sudden, something is going to happen and it's going to open it up for everybody.
I sure hope so.
I have a question about that, though, Randall. Is it possible anymore for people in garages to do that sort of thing? Again, we're getting back to the image of a single inventor in Star Trek inventing warp drive like that. Is it possible nowadays, because of the complexity of our technology, for any single person to come up with such a concept and develop it enough to have at least something that could be workable enough to submit to a large company? We have about a minute left in this segment, so I'll ask either of you to have an answer for that, if you can. Jan?
Well, I think if you look at some of the great inventors in history, I mean, Tesla, Einstein, and people who've Edison, a lot of these guys got their inspiration and ideas through dreams. This information was almost downloaded to them, if you will, in their dreams. And that's how they came up with, that's how Einstein came up with his general theory of relativity. It was, you know, basically through quiet, thoughtful reflection through a dream state that a lot of this stuff came to them. It wasn't they were so brilliant that they thought this up on their own. It was like ideas that just came to them. So a lot of that would be a single individual sitting there and kind of thinking about things. When I worked for IBM, we had what we called the wild ducks. And these were the people, we had one in our branch office where I first started out with IBM, and he would wear his red tennis shoes to the customer meetings with his three-piece suit. These were people who were incredible thinkers. They weren't the best social skills, and they didn't really get along with people all that well. But they would come up with some wild ideas that no one else would have even thought of. Now, how did they come up with those ideas? I can't say for sure, but a lot of them, I think they just had these ideas pop into their head. And there was a single individual who thought it up and wrote it up and then helped create it. So I think it is possible to have individuals. But if you're trying to build something, like you're trying to build a craft that could travel interstellar, you're going to need to have a huge organization behind you and a whole lot of people and money and resources to do that. But ideas, I think ideas are still the providence of the individual mind and consciousness of some very bright individuals who quiet their minds down and then things start happening for them.
We got more to come with Jan Harzan of MUFON. And Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. Join American Cannabis Summit online at acs2018.com. Attendance is free. That's acs2018.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today and save $10 on the Bug Beam Laser Combo, only at BugAssault.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, in that limited way, Jan Harzan, you believe that a single person can at least develop the concept and maybe do some CAD work or write up the equations. This is what we can do, and then bring it to IBM or someone, and they could look at that and expand it to the next stage.
Yeah, the problem is you always have that not invented, they're here process. I mean, at one point in the deep, dark past, Xerox came to IBM and tried to sell them their process called Xerox, and IBM said, thank you, but there's nobody who wants copies of things, right? So we passed on that opportunity. Well, it became one of the largest corporations, Xerox Corporation, which, of course, is now not as big, but in fact, probably even defunct. But, you know, it's funny how people are stuck in the paradigm they're in and therefore can't see the opportunity that's being presented to them. And I can't imagine how many people have missed those opportunities in the past worth millions, if not billions, and in the future worth trillions, because that's where we're headed to as a civilization. So I think we have to listen to these wild ducks. We have to listen to them and to their ideas and not poo-poo them, but give them some space and maybe do some experimentation and see if they don't pan out. I do think we're on the cusp of some incredible advances in our technology as a civilization, and I think it's going to do nothing but help all of us on this planet just to live better lives. So I'm looking forward to it. I think we'd rather get on with that rather than building more nuclear weapons and trying to figure out ways to kill ourselves.
Well, that's a very optimistic attitude, and I like it, but at the same time, there's still, you know, there still are nuclear weapons out there that are in silos.
Absolutely.
And they're working on AI as we speak. There's some real issues with AI and merging it with military technology. What's your,
I think AI is probably the one, what do you call it? It's basically the wild card, right? If not done properly, it could be our undoing as a civilization. If done well, it could be a boon and advancement to all of mankind. So, I think AI has got to be watched very closely. Also, some of our genetics technology probably as well. But if done right, and I have great hope that we can do things right as a civilization, I think the advances are just so stunning. It's going to be incredible for all of us. I mean, we're going to be looking back 100 years from now saying, can you believe those people back in 2018 thought this? I mean, we're now here, right? So I am an optimist, though. I like to look at the bright side of things and hope for the best, but also do what I can to help bring it about. And that's what I'm trying to do here at MUFON.
And I think that we need groups like MUFON to do exactly that, to inspire people to look beyond and outside the box into the possibilities that are out there for whatever it is that gives these alien craft the ability to do what they do. Returning just briefly to the whole comment about the AI thing, of course, if you're familiar with the Matrix movies,
yes,
and Agent Smith, I believe it was at one point that he says, and then you, talking to, I believe it was Morpheus, created us. And once we started to think for you, of course, it became our world, referring to themselves as the machines. So there's a real, I think, a real danger there that it's not just going to be the case where we all get to sit around in lawn chairs, you know, on just basking in the sun while machines and technology takes care of all of our needs. We've had that vision ever since Popular Mechanics, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, predicted that we'd have flying cars and robots would be doing all our work while we sat around and collected the paycheck. Well, that didn't happen. Instead,
right,
they just fired all the employees and hired the robots, you know?
You're right. You're absolutely right. No, you're very, very, very true. I mean, technology is a two-edged sword, right? And if we don't do it right, which means taking care of people and making sure everyone has enough to eat, housing and clothing, and the basic necessities of life on this planet, you know, we're going to be no better off after this advanced technology takes over and puts us on the side, because it wouldn't take long for a robot to realize, hey, those humans really don't do a whole lot. Maybe we don't need them around anymore.
And they think very slowly,
yeah.
And I can think and do things myself now, mostly without their help, except for maybe, you know, we need to get a few of the laborers into the mines, and the next thing you know, we become the slave labor to the machines.
Always a possibility.
And this is the great fear, and we're almost headed in that direction now, you know. But at the same time, you know, back to Gene's point, well, they also provide us with a lot of benefit. A person, like you're saying, Jen, with a really good idea and even a modest home computer now can design stuff that is incredible. And then we've got 3D printing coming out. And I mean, who knows? I think it is possible that someone could actually come up with this, you know, in their home lab somewhere in the future, in the not too distant future. Because after all, I mean, they've got little sightings, little mini orbs and UFOs that seem to fly around using the same principles. Well, they can't use nuclear power plants worth of energy to do that. They must be using a small amount of energy in a way that we're just not familiar with.
Right. Very, very possible. Very, very possible. Who can tell what the future is? I think the thing, we have to look to science fiction to help us predict the future, because it's done a pretty good job for the last 60, 70 years. I can remember as a kid growing up, and you probably can too, Buck Rogers and, you know, the rocket pack on the back of these people and flying around. And, you know, it's just.
And they actually made rocket packs that people could fly around in.
Right, exactly.
Let me correct that, though. That was Rocket Man.
Oh, is that Rocket
Man? Right, okay. That was Rocket Man.
What about
and then Rogers? Commando Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen descended from the original Rocket Man movie. It was about some person who had this suit. Of course, the flying scenes, by the way, were very good. This is Republic Pictures movie serial. Buck Rogers was somebody who, I guess, goes into this cave and wakes up 500 years later, which is why they called Buck Rogers in the 21st century. And in fact, that was the name, I think, of a TV show. But Buck Rogers had to deal with a new civilization where you had, I guess, the Asians and the Caucasians or Americans fighting one another. Killer Kane was the Asian. Now, when they did the movie, they made it more generic. The original movie, Buck Rogers, of course, starred Larry Buster Crabb, who was Flash Gordon. You like all this trivia stuff that I bring out that nobody cares about?
I love all that trivia stuff that you bring out.
Compare what we see now and the technology of people flying. And look at what Republic Pictures did in the 1940s, if you get to see maybe on Netflix or maybe it's on YouTube. The Adventures of Captain Marvel, it's the character we call Shazam now. Anything with flying scenes like the Rocket Man, of course, and Commando Cody. And you're going to see, even though it's black and white, pretty good flying scenes that were never exceeded until Superman the movie came out in 1978, believe it or not. I have no idea why we're talking about this. With Jan, Jean, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. President Trump is threatening to close the southern border unless Congress agrees to provide billions to fund a border wall. USA's Rick Vincent has more.
Florida Republican Senator Mark Rubio says the money isn't just for a wall.
The Senate passed the bill that funded the government and did so because the White House told us they were open to it. And then they changed their mind the next day. and then the House passed the bill they did. That said, that the House passed was not unreasonable. The $5 billion the president's asking for is not for a wall. It is for the top 10 priorities of a border security plan.
Rubio says he's not sure what Trump means by closing the border, but he agrees it needs to be secured. Trump has canceled his plans to travel to Florida to celebrate New Year's staying in Washington, but White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says Democrats have left the table altogether. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi is spending the holidays vacationing in Hawaii.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
I think he fell on his echo chamber, Randall. Jan, what was your response to my nonsense?
First off, I didn't realize you were such an aficionado of science fiction and early 1940, 50 movies. So that's awesome. I could just remember turning on the TV set on a Saturday morning and seeing these guys flying around with jetpacks on, and it was obviously all staged theater for television, but it really opened up your eyes. And I think the whole point was that this all foretold the future that wasn't there yet. It was these science fiction writers making stuff up from their thought process that ultimately came to be true. So maybe we should look at science fiction today and see where it's pointing us towards, see where things are going to be tomorrow. That was my whole point, and I think you amplified on that with what you said.
But then again, I think the field of ufology has been highly criticized by the skeptics who say, well, look, science fiction isn't science. And if you start mixing the two, then you're going to end up with pseudoscience. And pseudoscience is used as a pejorative to refer to the field of ufology. And, I constantly get into disagreements with them about that, where I point out that it doesn't logically make any sense to call ufology a pseudoscience because it doesn't fall into that category. We're not making the claim, or at least I don't as a ufologist, that it is a scientific field of endeavor to begin with. Ufology seems to me to be largely cultural. It's more a cultural phenomenon than it is any kind of hard science like we were talking about before. We don't have any verifiable material scientific evidence that UFOs exist. We do have a lot of movies. We have Close Encounters of the Third Kind that was, I think, put into the Library of Congress culturally significant movie section down there. I mean, it's in every corner of our culture now.
Yeah. Going back to your first comment, I don't see mixing science fiction and ufology. What I was trying to say was that perhaps science fiction could help us predict the future. Ufology is ufology, the study of UFOs, but science fiction has always pointed the way to where we're headed from as a civilization, from a technology standpoint and a futuristic standpoint. So that point being made, you know, people get so wrapped around the axle about, you know, if you can't prove it, if I can't see, feel, and touch it, then it doesn't exist. I'm not there because, I mean, no one's seen a muon, and yet scientists tell us muons exist based on what they observe in the CERN collider and different devices around the world, but based on its effects. No one's ever seen an electron, I don't think.
Yeah, they actually can take pictures of individual atoms now.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
But I mean, just to go back to the muon, I don't think anyone's taken a picture of a muon, and we know that that's a real particle, if you will. I'm not as hung up on the fact that I can't see, feel, and touch it, therefore it doesn't exist. I have personally seen one of these crafts, so I know they exist. And hundreds of thousands, if not millions of other people on this planet have seen these craft too. So we know the craft are real. And it's just a matter of, you know, and we're being told now by our own government, albeit people retired from the government, that these things are real and they're not from here. Now, MUFON's been trying for 50 years, and I'm sure NICAP did before it, and APRO and the other organizations, to find materials that might be from a crash saucer or from an advanced craft, not of this planet, or originating here on Earth. We've yet been able to conclusively prove that, but there are materials out there, and are people out there saying that they claim they have materials from other devices. And at some point, someone's going to come up with something that's going to say, hey, this is a material or a metamaterial or whatever you want to call it that was not manufactured here on Earth. How do we know it wasn't manufactured here on Earth? Because we have no known processes that could have allowed us to put something like this together.
You know, I think that opens up a lot of topics I want to bring into Jan. But first, to observe that we talk of science fiction predicting the future, and I wonder if we don't see certain inventions not because science fiction envisioned it, but because it was discussed in science fiction, and budding inventors look at that and say, I'd like to develop some kind of communicator like a Motorola StarTAC or a warp drive or a tablet computer like an iPad, although that was also in 2001, that sci-fi influences these developments, the reverse of that.
I want the flying car.
Oh, yeah, we still haven't got the flying car.
I've been reading about that in Bipolar Mechanics since 1950. I mean, where is that darn thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's in the Fifth Element. Remember the Fifth Element? All the cars were flying?
Yeah. George Jetson? Yeah. I've seen plenty of flying cars because there have been so many inventors who have invented flying cars, but for whatever reason, they've never taken off, and I assume it's because we don't have the infrastructure or the ability to keep these things from colliding with each other while they're up there in the air flying along merrily on their way. So,
yeah, I think one of the first ones was the flying Pinto, which was, if you remember those, they were prone to blowing up if you ran into them from the rear end. So, But nowadays, I'm pretty sure I ran across an article somewhere that says that they're trying to get actual flying taxis going in China. Within before the end of the 2020s kind of thing, because now, of course, you've got the driverless car type technology. Well, you can now use that in a similar way with GPS to integrate that into a flying drone-like machine that it doesn't use anti-gravity, but with this new drone technology. And then now they've got the actual car developed that can carry two people, and they've done tests on it. So maybe it's coming after all.
Yeah, I thought Uber was working on something of that nature too. So definitely with all the satellites up there now and the technology that's in place to separate vehicles from each other, we're seeing it on our roadways with some of the more advanced cars and car companies. This is not out of the question. I wonder if anyone will own a car 30 years from now. Perhaps you'll just click an app on your phone, or maybe it's not even an app on a phone anymore. Phones will probably be long gone. there'll be some other thing we're using. Maybe it's in our brains that allows you to you know, schedule a ride someplace. Because really, what are cars for? Cars are for getting you from point A to point B, and for washing on Saturday and Sunday and waxing. But I mean, other than that, what is a car used for? It's for get you from point A to point B. And if you could do that without having to own a $20,000, $30,000, $100,000, whatever vehicle and paying insurance and taxes and everything else that goes with it, you know, why wouldn't people switch to the new model?
Oh, yeah, sure. I think they probably a lot would opt out, just like they're opting out for their landlines now.
Yes.
You know, I've still got a landline and no cell phone, and I'm probably one of the last holdouts. But you know, I know a lot of people that have just dropped their landlines, so it's quite possible.
You've just been put on the Luddite list.
Yeah, there I am on the Luddite list.
Excuse me, folks. I'm developing a Luddite list. Let me just get a piece of paper here.
Yes.
Paper, and I'll write that down with a physical pen. Here we go.
I don't know why. I never use it. It's funny. Kids today don't even use cable. You know, I've got Cox cable. And, like, it's probably one of my biggest bills every month is paying my Cox cable bill. I'm like, why am I doing this?
Oh, yeah, I dumped mine a long time ago. Like, I do build computers and do tech work, so, you know, maybe that's partly why. I just need to be able to distance myself from it, and I feel as, you know, if I have that phone on me, I'm you know, tethered to that technology at all times, and I just need to be able to get away from it. You know, shut the thing off.
Let's do our break in a moment. Just want to say this. I kept a very simple smartphone, Motorola Razr, for a number of years, and then a year after the first iPhone came out, Apple sent me one for review because I was doing a blog, and I still do a blog on technology, and I sat with it for about 3 weeks, and I said, could I get an extension? And they gave me another 3 weeks. I returned it and realized I had to buy one of these. It had become indispensable. It was a narcotic. I was addicted. More to come with Jan, Randall, and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the purest for you and your family. For over 14 years, thousands have depended on Berkey Clean Water. The Berkey guy has you covered at home, work, and on the go. With water filtration systems of every size for every budget, now GCN listeners receive 10% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN at GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is James Fox from Chasing UFOs. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So that's the secret about technology. We get people addicted to them, and they buy the product. The companies therefore make money and develop, we hope, better products.
We've got a whole civilization of kids growing up who are addicted to their phones. I mean, it's one of the UFO cartoons, right, where the aliens land and they're walking around and the alien turns to the other one and says, do you think they'll notice us? And he says, oh, not a clue, not a chance, right? And they're all, because all the humans are walking around looking at their phones.
You know, I was looking the other day, I was having lunch somewhere and getting one of those $1 cheeseburgers you get at,
yes,
at Burger King. You want to save money, I have a dollar, I want lunch, I get that. So I was seeing people sit down, couples, they each were looking at their smartphones, not one another. And you kind of think if you're sitting down there with your significant other, whoever that person might be, wouldn't it be more important to look at them rather than your smartphone?
Yeah, I'd like to see us come back to that because I think we've gotten away from personal communication, which might be one of the reasons why we see such vitriol on these social media sites and things, because no one knows how to deal with a person face to face. You know, it's all through that little phone.
Yeah, it's so much easier to just spout something off in text, whether it's in an instant message or forum or whatever, in many cases, than it is to actually carry on a meaningful conversation. And this brings me to another question I have for you, Jan. What's your impression of the state of UFO conferences and the online presence of shows like the Paracast and other podcasts out there? To me, it seems like it's getting rather saturated, but what's your impression?
Well, it's going to get even more saturated because we know of at least five shows that are premiering after the first of the year, starting with Project Blue Book, and there's another show on Roswell, and the boys at TTSA have a show with A&E. I mean, it's just all over the place. We're getting calls from producers and directors. I mean, it's going to be nuts. Every single station or network out there is going to have their own UFO show of one sort or another. So, I don't know. I think people like seeing things. They like having recreations. They like following stuff through the television. And a lot of the stuff, of course, will go on cable or it'll go on the on-demand side of things. So you'll be able to play it back later at your leisure and binge on it if you want to binge on it. So I don't see it lessening. As far as physically attended conferences, I think we might see a consolidation of some of that. You know, you kind of see it with this like Alien Con, even though that's more of a hype by the networks to play up their favorite actors and actresses on their sci-fi and UFO
right.
alien shows.
Yeah, I think I saw where Michael Dorn is going to be there, you know, from Star Trek.
Right, right. They're bringing all the actors in, and the general public who sees these people every week get to go get an autograph with them or a picture taken with them and stuff like that. But the true scientific type conferences, I mean, which the MUFON Symposium is, we bring in speakers from all sorts of fields and have them talk about what they know and what they're working on, the research they've done. You know, it takes very thoughtful people to attend those conferences, and I'm pleased to say we're finding a lot of those people out there who want to have a serious conversation. And there's also the networking aspect of it, of going to a physical conference where you can spend time with people of a like mind and talk about ideas and share thoughts and research. I don't think that'll ever go away. It's interesting. With the millennials coming up, do they really want that kind of interaction? I don't know. Maybe we need to have conferences by mobile phone. I don't know. We'll have to think of something new.
There is another question I've got for you. Since, well, we've got the head guy on now, and we've been trying to get Debbie Ziegelmeyer on, and she must be really busy with her speaking and other engagements because she hasn't been available. But I was wanting to ask her because I heard on another interview, I'm pretty sure it was with her, and you'll have to maybe help me out with this, Dan, that it was her team that was out scouring around the old Roswell crash site who came upon a small piece of material that ended up in Bigelow's lab, and that's what became this metamaterial that they started talking about. Can you tell us about that or clear that up or what's going on with that?
Well, the only thing that I know for fact is that she and her brother, as part of a television show that was being filmed, had gone down to do a dig in New Mexico for materials, and I think it was a Roswell crash site. And I know they dug. I don't know that they found anything specifically. In fact, I thought they hadn't found anything specifically. So this might be one of those shaggy dog stories that takes on a life of its own when it's told by a number of people. It just grows bigger and bigger. As far as Bigelow having materials, I really don't know about that either. I haven't really spoken or heard from Bigelow in over 10 years. I know that the TTSA guys have been using him as a laboratory, as well as Hal Putoff and the Earth Tech folks down in Austin, if they find materials or have materials they want tested. Those are two of the places that they would go to. I also know that they've been talking for some time now, and I don't think it's any secret because they've been doing some Facebook and other postings that the ATOM project, where they're actually trying to find materials that might have, well, not might, that have been manufactured someplace else and trying to prove it scientifically that it's not anything that we had created here on this earth. I sure hope they're successful. I mean, we've, like I said, been at it for 50 years. I personally have been involved in several different tests, and we've just never come up with anything that's conclusive where we could hold up our hands and say, absolutely, this is not from here. I mean, that would be the real clincher in terms of proving to the population, the world as a whole, that we have been visited in the past or even now by people who are not from here. Because we have materials that we can prove were never manufactured here on this planet.
You see, that also raises the excuse for whether we have the technology, because the government could say with plausible deniability, we don't have any of that stuff, because they farmed it out to private industry where it's easier to keep a secret.
Yeah, I believe that's probably true. That's what I would do. I mean, if you're trying to keep a secret, you don't, you know, keep it in-house, you ship it out. Plus, something we've all just learned in this last year, maybe, or at least I did in the last year, is that when you use contractors, the work that they do for you is not subject to FOIA. Therefore, if they discover something significant, you don't have to disclose it.
You should be able to track it, though, through the money trail, because they have to pay these contractors to do that sort of thing, and there must be some sort of explanation as to what it is they're doing. So somebody must be able to make an inquiry and say, well, hey, why are we paying trillions or billions of dollars to these contractors for what?
Yeah,
there must be a
process. Yeah, one would think so, but I also think they can make up invoices that say anything they want. Having been in business, I mean, you can make an invoice say whatever you want to and put an amount on it, and if it gets paid, it's still part of the business. So
It's yeah, always, but that's not entirely legal either.
No, it's not. I'm not saying it is, but I mean, how much of this stuff has not been done legally? That's another question, right?
That's a really good question when you think about it, yeah. But now, do you guys, okay, at one point you had a working relationship with Bigelow, and then it kind of fell apart, and so you guys just aren't able to cooperate since, or?
Well, I mean, yeah, so very simply, I mean, what happened was we were approached by BAS, the Bigelow Advanced Aerospace Studies Group, Colm Kelleher, they asked us the question, you know, if we could fund your field investigators to get on site faster, do you think you could get information, you know, about the landings, the craft, the vehicles, the sightings, better information than what you have today? And our answer is, well, we don't know. So they were very specific. They were a very specific pinpoint. We'll pay for airline tickets. We'll pay for rental cars. We'll pay for hotels. We won't pay anything to admit for towards administrative expenses, a MUFON, but we'll pay for anything to help get your investigators on site faster to see if you guys can get better information about your sightings. And so we did that for about 9 months. It was a project. They were very much adamant they didn't have anything to do with the running of MUFON. So it was an arm's length transaction. We didn't sell them anything. I mean, it was basically we accepted money to pay for expenses for our field investigators to basically put what I call it was putting our field investigators on steroids and getting them out quickly to key sites. So we had people who literally watched the CMS database every minute of the day, 24/7. And when a case came in that looked meet certain parameters, like, you know, like a landing or a trace case or something that had physical effects to it, the state directors were notified immediately. Teams were deployed. Expenses were put in place. They, you know, if they needed an airline ticket, a hotel, or whatever they needed to get out there as fast as possible, that was done. And after 9 months, you know, it had mixed results. And for whatever reason, the BAS people, Bigelow Advanced Aerospace Studies people, decided not to renew the contract. So that was that. Now, a lot of swirled around and all that, and a lot of things have been made out of that, but it was a very simple project. As far as why Bigelow hasn't been more actively involved in the UFO phenomenon, I think part of it is because he got involved with probably his ATIP program back 10, 12 years ago, and he didn't need the UFO field anymore because he had a inside angle with the government.
More to come with Jan, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.